Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. We are also live streaming this podcast in an attempt to, just get a little bit more hip, a little bit more young. And when I think of hip and young, what I think of is, of course, Michael Leone.
Yeah, do you think of me taking like 30 minutes to crop a video image so that it looks like 80th percentile bad and not like 99th percentile bad?
Yeah, it's not like I could have been using those minutes to work on anything else for our employers or for our website, so it's fine.
Is that a euphemism for arguing with internet trolls on Twitter.com?
I haven't argued with anyone on the internet
today. Dude, you were arguing with someone yesterday for like
I was no arguing reason. With someone yesterday, but I have not argued with anyone on the internet yet today. So I view that as progress.
Watching you makes me, I like it because it makes me reflect on when I talk to trolls and I'm like, wow, I'm just not going to do this because Davis just looks so bad doing it. So I just,
it's really bad when I do it with people who are just completely beneath my station in life. Like just these total cretins. And it's just like, Davis, you gotta be better.
Ooh, JJ Zacharyson just said he's watching the stream. Now I'm a little bit nervous.
Why are you nervous, bro? Because he's like the number one seed in all the fantasy leagues that we're all in together?
At late round QB, man. A lot of pressure to not disappoint him. But yeah, so let's dive into this week, though.
The first thing I have to say is our Laird has risen. I will be locking him in MME yet again. 4,500. He was 4,100 last week against the Jets. Played, I believe, 76% of the snaps. Ran a route on 36 of 41 dropbacks for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Had 5 targets in the passing game. He is now with DeAndre Washington likely not starting for Oakland. I mean, he is the best salary relief play of the week, Michael.
Yeah, he is. And I was kind of mad last week because the more I looked at it, I was really into Laird. And I talked about it on our show and whatnot that I didn't think Zenner would really play. I thought they'd keep the same split between Laird and Gaskin that they had, you know, the weeks prior on the non-Ballage snaps. And with the news that came out with Le'Veon Bell out and everyone playing Bilal Powell, Laird came in at like 10% and he was only 600 more than Powell. And I played a lot of Laird. I only played like 3 or 4 teams last week.
I played
week.
No Powell. Do you think that was bad to just nuke Powell? Because that's what I did.
What contests were you in?
I mean, I just in all the 150 max stuff, like below $5. Like, well, really just all the
Yeah,
stuff.
I think it was the mistake to nuke Powell there. Because the ownership doesn't get quite as high.
It doesn't get out of control on those stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was a good play. I know he didn't end up. I think the move was to play a lot of DeAndre Washington. I think that would have been really smart. But I think Laird was the correct play to be overweight.
You know what? I did play. So like in the $50 single entry and the $100 single entry, I played DeAndre Washington, but I played them on Mahomes teams because I wanted to keep the swap options open. So I get this guy who goes for, I think he got 25 DraftKings points at under 1% owned, and it didn't even matter. My teams weren't even good.
That is such a smash when you compare him to Powell and even Laird, like Laird at 10%. Would he get like 12 points? Powell had like 10. So to get this guy in the exact same price, but a little bit cheaper and 1% owned to double those guys, that was a pretty massive edge. And I was the same boat as you. I made a DeAndre Washington team. The team I made, which might've been dumb because I didn't leverage Powell at all, but I played a Laird Powell DeAndre Washington team with just this super expensive Mahomes stack. And you know, it didn't get there, which was unfortunate.
So we also have a couple other just horrible running backs that we're going to have to consider this week. Chris Carson now with Rashad Penny out for the rest of the year. We are again projecting him for workhorse levels of volume, 70% market share of the rushing attempts, 12.5% of the Seattle Seahawks team targets. And there might not be a worse running back in fantasy right now than Saquon Barkley. I mean, it's almost comical at this point how bad he's been. And I like, he is our top value at running back this week.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what people do if people are willing to go back to Saquon. Because as you said, I'm looking at our projections. It's Saquon Laird, the Saquon Laird Bowl there in New York. Those are our top two values. And it's not hard to play Saquon at all. you know, with some cheap guys
you,
available.
You can't even say that the volume hasn't been there for Barkley either. 4, 7, 3, 5 targets over his last four games. Like, he was even getting targets from dimes, and he has like he has not had a 100 yard rushing game since week two against Buffalo.
Yeah, but you're facing Miami now. You're at home against Miami. What's the line on this game? 25 team total for the Giants. When's the last time you had a 25 team total?
I mean, I'm not saying that I'm not playing him. It's just like
he's been dusting.
I mean, it's basically the same thing as playing Fournette. Like, you're just hoping that he catches six passes and that he's able to get a 1 yard touchdown.
Yeah, but as much crap as like people give Fournette, he has one of the highest breakaway run rates in the entire league, which is kind of insane. So this comes back to the running backs don't matter conversation, where, you know, at one point last year, Saquon was amazing, and now this year he's not. And you know, Alvin Kamara hit regression finally in terms of efficiency, which we all thought would happen, but some people kept saying, no, he's the outlier. He's the outlier. And I just think, obviously, in individual games, running back talent matters, and the way the running backs play matters and can affect the impact of the game. But I don't know how predictable it is from week to week or season to season. So I don't know if I'm going to say like Saquon's dusty just because we haven't seen the efficiency this year.
Well, Saquon's just like always, just like Saquon's, I don't think Kamara's dusty.
What?
Saquon was dusty last year in terms of success rate. He just had some long plays.
Yeah, that's fair. I'll probably have a lot of Saquon. Your boy Bo Scarborough is...
That's the one where I'm like, I don't understand how this dude is getting an optimals, because we have him projected for 2% market share of the team targets there.
Yeah, I think that's something... Our yards per carry is probably high there, given that Tampa Bay has been a really good run defense.
And but given again, that they're going to be down by 15 like right away.
Yeah, we might have to look at the play calling somewhat there. But at home, okay total. And we don't have Tampa Bay as like a very good defense overall. And a lot of times that matters more in our projections on the specific run pass defense, which can be a bit fluky at times. No one's going to play Bo Scarborough though. Like people see Tampa Bay, they go, oh, pass funnel defense, really good yard or really good yards per carry for them in terms of defensively limiting yards per carry of the opponents. Absolutely no one's going to play Bo Scarborough. So I feel like it's kind of interesting. The reason he gets in is because we have him right now with the highest carry share of like any back.
But that's legitimate slate. Though. Like he really is. Yeah. He really is carrying so much for the Lions relative to Ty Johnson and J.D. McKissick. Like he is handling all of that.
The only back with more projected rush attempts this week is Saquon. We've got Scarborough slightly ahead of Chris Carson and Derrick Henry, and those are those four guys, Henry, Carson, Scarborough, Barkley, are four guys with 19-plus carries. And generally, we don't care too much about carry volume because it's like that's not what matters. We want touchdown equity and we want pass catches. But when you're talking 4K and you're getting that much work and as a result of getting that much of the carry share, any
he actually
rush
got three targets
equity,
last week too.
Like any rush touchdown equity is going to him. You know what I mean? So
yeah, he actually out-targeted Ty Johnson last week. Bo Scarborough did, which is sort of interesting.
Yeah, he'll come down in our projections when I mess with the yards per carry a little bit, but it's not going to move it a ton, and the upside's still going to be there if you think he carries the rock 19 times. Like, you can get two, if you're the primary ball carrier, you can get two goal line touchdowns.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he definitely can. Another thing that we're going to have to figure out is Ian Thomas, right? Because Ian Thomas is 3,100 despite that target share that he got last week. Now, Greg Olsen might play, but you and I were just talking before we started this about, I mean, tight end has just been so bad this year. It has really just been so horrible overall this season. And I mean, Ian Thomas against Seattle, if Greg Olsen again does not play, I could see playing him like 50, 60% of my entries.
That seems wild though. He's so like, I don't know. On one end, I understand what you're saying. We're tight end's terrible, so just take the good, cheap, chalk guy.
Well, but I also am like thinking about it from a stack perspective. Like, I probably won't be playing Jared Goff at all, so Higbee will be out. I for sure won't be playing Derek Carr at all in GBPs, so I won't have like the stacks built in with Waller. And Thomas is a good stack
Kyle
filler.
Kyle Allen teams
he's cheap.
Are you playing?
He's cheap though. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying he's 3,100, yeah. So he's a stack filler as opposed to like a core piece.
Yeah, but I mean, Higbee's 3,900. Like, he can be. It's not like he can't be a stack filler. But anyways, I don't know. Tight ends are so fragile that I generally like to pivot here. Got killed on it with the Higbee game 2 weeks ago, and this comes back to the DeAndre Washington thing when you were saying like, was that bad? Or the Bilal Powell thing when you were saying, was that bad to not play him? I think you can play these guys in MME lower stakes quite a bit because the ownerships get messed up. But Higbee was 50% in high stakes 2 weeks ago. I don't regret that at all with the information we knew going into the game. I was on Noah Fant big time last week. Like, that was really good leverage over Ian Thomas, even with Ian Thomas performing well. Had Ian Thomas not performed well, that would have been absolute smash. The guy we talked about ahead of the podcast, though, OJ Howard, baby. It's finally time, right?
Yeah, what do you do? What do you do with OJ Howard?
So we've got him 14% target share, and that makes him like just outside the top five tight end values right now. But I think the upside's pretty large for Howard in two ways. One, uncertainty of where the target share goes, right? So anytime there's a situation with uncertainty, you get projections that middle things across the market, and as a result, people might overlook Howard when that 14% target share could be an 18% target share. And two, I mean, he's a big play guy. And so I think there's a ceiling there. So I think you have a couple of different outs with him at 3,900. And Jameis, when in a dome, I mean, not
he's
just,
just
in
the
a dome,
stone nuts this week. He throws so much. Yeah. In the past, when you do the double sacks with Jameis, you knew that a lot of the times that was going to mean Godwin and Evans, which was going to eat up a ton of your salary cap. Now you know that when you're doing the double sacks, it's going to be Godwin, who's 7.7K, and then it's going to be someone in the 3Ks, you know, Perryman, Watson, Brate, Howard, doesn't matter. So, like, I think the double stacks with him this week are just so good because if OJ Howard gets 4 for 50, or if Justin Watson gets, you know, like 3 catches for 60 yards or whatever, that could still end up being the optimal lineup with Jameis and the other guy.
That's what I was going to say, is you're thinking too small. It's the triple stack week.
Oh, the triple stack. I probably won't do that.
No, I mean, if there's a quarterback that can throw for 400 yards, it's Jameis Winston. And you take Mike Evans out of the equation, that could pay off big time this week. And Justin, why don't you talk about Watson? Because JJ says he's listening to the podcast. I'm in a dynasty league with JJ and you, where our wide receivers are stacked, and we've held on to Justin Watson. So I'm
How did you even know to get him?
Podfather has loved Justin Watson for a couple of years now, and I think we stashed him as a result of that. We had on the roster. We didn't pick him up. We had him.
He's 6'2", 215. He had a Dominator rating in college of 60%. He ran a 4.4940. His best physical comp is the legend, Jordan Matthews. So, like, I couldn't
signed by the San Francisco 49ers.
Again, yeah. I will probably play Justin Watson in cash, I would think.
Yeah, what was his target share last week? Let's see.
I think he got 6 targets.
8 targets last week. Yeah. Granted, I think that game got nutty. So
he only played 55% of the snaps. Rashad Perryman was still playing ahead of him, and I think Brate was as well.
Who's playing the slot for them?
I would assume Perryman will, and Watson will go outside and play in the Evans spot.
Yeah,
you actually don't want.
But yeah, the price tag, really good on Watson if you factor in any sort of upside, because he is the Jordan Matthews comp. Really good play. What's going to kill me, though, so we like Tampa Bay a lot, but this Cleveland-Arizona game is going to break me mentally one way or another. Two teams that I just lose money on every week are Cleveland and Arizona. Now they play each other in Arizona, and the guys are popping on both sides of this game for us. Three of our top four wide receiver values as of right now are in this game, with Jarvis Landry, who the price tag on him just seems high for him, but we have him with a 3% higher target share than Odell Beckham. Like, this is kind of crazy. Odell Beckham playing through the sports hernia. Like, maybe he's just not healthy and you just shouldn't play a not healthy guy, even though
I'm team like let it go, Odell. I'm not interested.
And then Christian Kirk, I just play every week, so there's not a lot to add there.
Yeah, I mean, well, are you going to include Baker and Kyler in your MME mix? For me, I think Kyler, absolutely. Yes, but no for Baker, probably.
I'm including both for sure. So if you think Odell's hurt and bad and you wanted to double stack Baker,
Njoku,
would you mess around with Njoku, who is not going to project well because he did not play much last week? And also, we've got the DK pricing algo bump on the tight ends against Arizona. So that's what's kind of crappy about Njoku, is he's 4,200 when he should be 3,200.
Well, I mean, he played 38% of the snaps in his first game back off of injured reserve. I could see that bumping up to 60%.
Yeah.
Like, as long as he didn't have like a setback or anything, like it seemed like it was like mostly a conditioning issue.
I want to say that I'll use Njoku and it's a really smart play, but you've got Higby cheaper, Ian Thomas cheaper, Mike Gesicki cheaper, OJ Howard cheaper, Caden Smith cheaper, Jacob Hollister cheaper. I mean, I guess if you're right, you don't really care that he's 4,200 instead of 3,200.
The flow chart, bro.
Hashtag flow chart. We'll see if Smiz approves the flow chart play this week on Njoku.
Man. Oh, Njoku is going to be a flowchart play for sure. He's got to be.
If people are going to play him, I don't want to play him because that just seems nuts.
I mean, I don't think people will go people crazy for him, because I think people will play Gesicki, Higby, and Waller the most. Those will be the guys.
Yeah, a lot of ways you can go cheap this week.
How is Zach Ertz not like we have him projected for a 26% target share. How is he not our top value tight end?
6K.
Like what's going on with the baselines there?
Yeah, I'll look into that. But we have the yards per target pretty low, which seems wrong against Washington. But Philly's just been so bad. And this is, you know, shaping up to be somewhat of an ugly game. I think we have a team total, or not a team total, like game total of like 40. And we don't have a lot of plays being run in this game. We're going to have Philly somewhat rush-oriented between the combination of what their personnel is going to dictate and the fact that they should be in a positive game script as bad as they've been. And as a result, all of a sudden, a 26% target share, which is the highest target share by 2 to 3 points of any projected tight end this week, just does not look, you know, as good as you would think. You know, the math just doesn't play out when you have a lower yards per target, you have a lower team pass attempts. The team total's not that high. It just doesn't play out as well as you think it would. I think he's a fine play because if there's a tight end that's going to catch 10 balls, you know, it's Ertz or it's Darren Waller.
Are we going to be playing 3K Greg Ward?
I don't know if I can do it.
He got 9 targets last week with Alshon active.
Yeah, but Alshon got hurt pretty early.
He didn't get hurt that early. I think he was still in there in the second quarter, right?
I think it might have been early second quarter. He did not play in the second half. That's for sure.
But I mean, still though, like 3K wide receiver who against Washington.
Yeah, he's fine. Well, there's a lot of cheap receivers. So there's him.
We should actually talk about them because there are so many.
Yeah, there's him. There's Isaiah Ford, who played a lot for Miami, and they're. Whole team just went down.
I think I would just rather Gesicki there.
But you just told me to go through the cheap wide receivers, so I was going to do that, and then you immediately, interrupted me. So
yeah, cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So there's Ford and Allen Hurns. You've also got Chris Conley with Chark out. You've got Justin Watson, who we've already talked about. Greg Ward.
Chark might play. His status got updated today.
Did he? So
feels very stupid that he would play though.
There's Kelvin Harmon as another sub 4K guy. He's a little bit more towards the bottom of our list just because the team total is so low there. But yeah, there's.
What about a certain Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver?
Oh, Corey Davis, freaking 3,800 too.
There is a Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver who's at 4,900.
Can't even.
Did Dude, like, what happened? Like, someone's got to give me an explanation for what happened to Sammy Watkins' season.
Ooh, no offense, not practicing. Yeah, I tweeted out this morning that the two situations I was, like, really wrong about without a major injury was Odell and Sammy. And with Odell, I guess you could argue there was an injury there. I don't know how long he's been playing with a sports hernia. You know, sometimes that injury information leaks out and it's tough to get a huge gauge on it. But you can explain some of Odell with, okay, Landry got a higher target share than we thought, and this past schedule was really tough, and he played through injury. Sammy Watkins, massive week one. We were taking victory laps. We were ready. Tyreek goes down. This is going to be the smash of all smashes. Dude,
I was like windmilling all over the place.
And I don't blame you, because I didn't see any way it wasn't at least good. It was probably going to be great, but it was at least going to be good. And we're not even close to – he's not even usable. I don't understand. And
he is not rostered in my my 12-team home league with all my buddies, where we start two wide receivers and three flex spots. He is not rostered. Alan Hearns is rostered, but Sammy Watkins is not.
It's insane, because I think he was so undervalued coming in the draft season. People don't realize he was seeing 20% of the targets last year, even when Tyreek and Kelce were together. So, and he was always good. He was always a pretty efficient receiver. I mean, I don't know. This has broken me. I cannot explain the Sammy Watkins lack of production. I have no idea whatsoever. And I'm not one to watch film whatsoever. I do feel like watching him, he doesn't look fully
that would
right,
be my but, guess would just be, yeah, that he's hurt or just lost some sort of burst or whatever.
But whenever a player is playing terribly, you know, they look like something's wrong. No one,
right? Yeah.
Usually, a guy doesn't play terrible and looks great.
Yeah, you make a very good point. You make a very good point about that. Okay, so let's look at some of these expensive wide receivers. We are not getting a ton of Chris Godwin in our top optimals because we are so absurdly, I think, over projecting the Cleveland guys. I think Godwin is the second best wide receiver play of the week next to Hopkins.
We might be spreading around the target share a little too much. We only have him at 25% target share. So that's why that's good, but not great. So we've got Jarvis.
Like Leonard, I would book him for sure over Odell Beckham target share, which we have Odell for.
Yeah, I think 27% is probably a bit better, but you know, the Dink bot set these and he's generally more right than we are. Oh, we didn't even talk about that game that you can bring Kenny Galladay back.
Yeah, that'll be my Galladay and Amendola as well.
If you're really playing the pass funnel defense of Tampa Bay and how bad they've been against the pass, but they're really good. I think they're maybe first in rush DVOA, or at least they were last week or 2 weeks ago. So there's also creeping up to these expensive receivers.
He's the one who keeps track of all that.
Nate Nolan, is Nate Nolan going to play Bob Woods? Because he's...
I want to play Bob Woods in cash this week. Like he's been such a crusher. He's been so good.
He doesn't leave the field. And this is like one of the things I've struggled with this year as we do our projections. For some reason this year I've thought about a lot more is, you know, where our priors are. Cause it's really easy to be like, okay, this guy has this target share for the season, last 4 weeks, et cetera, et cetera. But if you did that with Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, you know, you were playing Cooper Kupp for too long and you might not have gotten on Robert Woods early enough. And I think we did a pretty good job of middling that with our projections.
I mean, I did a pretty good job in the sense that I just played Robert Woods every week. And then finally,
worked. Yeah.
Yeah, I just martingaled it and eventually it worked.
The thing that the Rams have been doing is they've been playing this two tight end set. And when they play that set, it is Josh Reynolds and Robert Woods on the field.
Because Reynolds is he's a hand in the dirt player, dude. He knows how to block, and they're like, Brandon Cooks is just the captain of Team Windsprint now. He only comes out there to run 9 routes and then subs out.
I have a weird affinity for Josh Reynolds. But anyway, so they're playing that formation a lot. And then they will play their regular formation with 3 wide, which Reynolds goes to the bench and you get Cooks and Kupp in there. The thing that drives me nuts with that is like when you're setting the projections, obviously you have to bake that risk into Kupp because what do you put 18 snaps last week? Like it was really bad, but they were also ahead a ton of the games. So they're going to run that two tight end set. They're going to run the clock. And this week at Dallas, that could be a bit more of a shootout type game. You know, we don't know for sure they're going to do this again. Like, what if they just go three wide the whole game and Cooper Kupp is an absolute smash at 6,500 and no one plays him?
Feels like they don't want to get into a shootout against Dallas, though. Maybe I might be.
They might not have a choice. They might not have a choice. This game seems like the underplayed game of the week to me is the Dallas Rams game.
I'll have Goff and Dak for sure. I can't help myself.
People are playing Cleveland. People are playing Jameis. We're not on anything anybody else isn't on there. Are people playing Dak and Goff that game? I don't think so.
No, the narrative on Dallas has flipped now. Everyone just, Dallas sucks. Dak sucks. No, you don't want to play any of these. I mean, maybe Zeke, I guess, people will play. But yeah, the whole narrative on Dallas has flipped, despite the fact that, do you know the team that leads the NFL in yards per play on offense, Michael Leone?
I'm assuming it's Dallas Cowboys.
It is. It's the Dallas Cowboys, and it's not even close. They lead the NFL in yards per play by 0.3 yards. Like that, like it's huge.
But because they're losing, they're going to give the ball to Zeke more, and then actually get worse. I need Dak to tone it down because I've got a Jameis passing yards leader bet.
Yeah,
that
I do
Dak
too.
Is trying to ruin.
I got this Dak MVP ticket. Probably not going to hit.
No. For a while there, it looked decent. The San Francisco game. So last week, a really sharp tout said that the San Francisco-New Orleans game was a really good tournament stack.
Yeah,
and then
I'm trying to think of that really sharp tout. It.
Did not stack it. Who was that?
Dude, I just, like, you know what? This is what happens to me. Every week, I think I start out with like pretty good ideas. And then you know what happens? I'm just like, dude, Patrick Mahomes is going to be 8% owned. And then I just keep chasing Patrick Mahomes in this lost season, dude. He's like having a bad year. And I can't help myself. Because it's like that he has that one play a game where you're like, oh, no other human being in the history of the earth could ever make that play. It's just him.
Yeah. Yeah, we do like the galaxy brain stuff, that's for sure. I was on super heavy Noah Fant all week, and then I don't know. I get into myself these situations. I also thought for sure Josh Jacobs wasn't going to play, and I only played 1 of 3 in the Wildcat with Washington. Whatever. We managed to simultaneously be wimps with some of our takes, but then also way too reckless on some of our other takes. And it seems like we're reckless.
I mean,
I think I
did everything right except for not including Breeze. Like everything else I did, I think was mega mind.
Yeah. So that game really sucked for us because, you know, one of the things that we try to improve every year on is the team baselines and our projections. And we did improve quite a bit this year. You know, doing some modeling, we've really found Vegas is pretty good, and a lot of the team level statistics you can derive from Vegas and then tweaked to the specific team. So our team baselines, though, were real mind F word last week because the team total on the Saints was 23, and the Saints also at times can get rush heavy, or at least rush heavier than you'd expect. And then both teams, I think it was I saw a tweet. It might have been like the only game in the last X years where both teams went over the game total of the game. So the game total was 45, and it was 48-46 was the final score. So yeah,
defenses
I'm tilting that. But are you playing?
Defenses don't matter, bro.
This is the super roundabout way to ask you about Jimmy G stacks against Atlanta. Are people going to be too worried? They're just going to run and not play Jimmy G and. Kittle.
Yeah, I feel like actually like Raheem Mostert is going to end up being like the most popular San Francisco 49ers play.
I think he's an okay play, but one that could very easily go bad.
I am not interested. I don't know. I don't know. Like there is so much volatility in projecting that backfield when there was two of them. And now like theoretically Tevin could just come in and play again.
And the upside, if it goes right, I mean,
he'd have to score. The upside is he scores another 50-yard touchdown and also gets 18 other touches other than that.
Yeah, I don't really see it. I feel the same way with Drake as Mostert, where I get why from a pure math standpoint, he's like outside of the top five values, but hovering around the top 10 values, but it could just go bad. We saw a DJ touchdown last week. Like things could just go. What is
DJ's price? Our projections like Kenyon Drake a lot more than I do.
He just gets so many targets. I mean, let's look at the targets on Drake.
You know who just is going to, like, all this is going to end up being elementary, and you know who's going to be the smash?
Who?
Miles Sanders. He's just going to get, he's going to get 23 touches against Washington.
I don't know. I don't trust Philly. 5,900.
No, that's the thing. You don't trust their passing game, but Miles Sanders is fine.
I meant more in terms of allocating running back shares.
I mean, the only reason that Boston Scott played last week was because of the weather and because Sanders got banged up in the middle of the game.
He left for cramping, but he came back and Boston Scott was playing so well, they kept going to Boston Scott even after Sanders was back.
But didn't Sanders come back in the overtime though?
Yeah, and Boston Scott kept playing.
I mean, so maybe
so Sanders got in the game. I'm not saying he didn't see the field. I'm saying he came back, he saw the field for some plays, but they kept playing Boston Scott.
So Sanders goes from being like 85% of the snaps to like 65%. That's fine.
You say it's fine. I say it's not fine at 5,900.
Dude, how have you not touted Chris Thompson yet? I feel like Chris Thompson is like a classic Leone player.
No, not at all. That's a Pat Mayo player 100 times over. No.
Do you know who I think of when I think of like Pat Mayo touting? You'll know this.
Catching running back.
Dude, like it was this old Texans wide receiver, Andre Ellington. When he used to play for the Texans, he'd be like 3,800, and Mayo just loved that dude.
Dude, the cheap pass catching backs, they're Mayo's kryptonite. He can't stay away.
Can't help it.
I guess we should talk expensive backs a little bit before we
log off. We haven't talked about CMC yet.
We talked about Barkley, and we went over Carson briefly, but CMC, Barkley, Carson, Derrick Henry, Leonard Fournette, Zeke, Dalvin Cook. That's like your main tier. We have a 3-point drop off after that. So we have a pretty clear,
What are we thinking with CMC this week?
There's so many cheap plays that it makes me want to play CMC. But this is where we galaxy brain and everyone thinks that. And then we pivot.
I mean, I just like,
I can't quit. I'm not playing Derrick Henry. If he goes for 102 again, so be it.
I mean, do you understand how bad at DFS you got to be to play him this week?
You said that. You've said that all year, though.
And it's been true every time.
No, we were playing him. Dink and I were playing him when he was 9% owned at like 6,500. Okay. Sure.
Whatever. I guess theoretically that's fine.
What do you mean theoretically? Okay. Whatever. Okay. Theoretically, in practice, any combination of those two words and what they actually mean. Yes. But now you're talking somewhat chalky. Or it's just expensive. I mean, he has to go for 102 now.
Even 102 might not get him there because they
102 gets you to 25 at a minimum.
25 might not outscore Carson. Okay, 102 gets Elliott. You there.
Let's not get too crazy. But the point is he needs 102.
I can't handle that guy. Really tilts me.
I'm torn because I've gone back and forth. It's so much fun when you play. You know what? When you play him though, and he breaks those 50-yard touchdown runs.
I can't relate. I'm pretty sure I've never played him.
The one week we played him and he had like zero at halftime, and you were giving me and Dink so much shit. And then he ran.
Isn't that every game? Doesn't he always have zero at halftime?
I don't know. I don't. I think he just smashed out of the gate last week.
Why don't you try and explain to me, like I'm five, why Ryan Tannehill is projected for the most points at the quarterback position in the Daily Roto projections?
Okay. Like you're five?
Explain to me like I'm a new subscriber in the NFL channel.
Okay. So let me pull up the team baselines because we'll start there because a lot of this is team centric. So you've got Tennessee at home. That's a plus. 26.5 team total with a -3. This is a team, too, that we've had to mess with their rush percentages because they do get pretty run heavy, and it's possible we need that. But we're projecting them this week right now with a 42% rush percentage, which right around league average, so not a whole lot there. In terms of plays, a little bit more than league average, not a whole lot there. Team totals really strong, though, at 26.5, not a whole ton of high team totals. It's up there with the top on the slate. And then their points scored from touchdowns are really high. And their DSTD percentage is pretty low. So this is a super minor thing on the back end, but we're projecting them for really, of that team total, we're expecting a lot of it to come via offense.
From the offense.
So that plays into his touchdown expectation. But they've also broken our model a little bit because Tannehill's been so efficient that the Vegas line would have them at 7.5 yards per attempt, which is already really good. Over their last 16 games, the Titans are averaging over a full yard more YPA than you would expect based on Vegas. And over their last 8 games, 2 more yards than you would expect. And we're regressing that, so we're projecting 8.2 yards per attempt. But Houston is also allowing much higher yards per attempt over their last 8 games or the last 16 games relative to that Vegas expectation. So you're just getting a ton of efficiency, and he's been running a little bit too. So we've got him with, you know, not a huge rushing projection, but I think around 4 points. That's a passing touchdown, you know, that you're starting ahead if you've got 4 points projected rushing. So that's it. I think it's a little high.
I just can't.
I think it's a little high, and we'll probably increase the rush percentage a little bit. And as a result, that projection is going to come down because we're projecting him with 34 pass attempts, which is middle of the pack, and he hasn't been throwing at all. But there's also this push and pull on efficiency where you look at the pass attempts and you're like, oh, what he's doing is unsustainable. He's only throwing the ball 22 times a game. But part of that's because he's hitting 60-yard passes. He's going to throw the ball 30 times if he doesn't hit those 60-yard passes. He might get those yards still in less efficient ways. You can't just, you know, like, you can't just assume one and not the other, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not playing this guy. You know, like, it goes against my belief system to be paying. It's the same thing as Derrick Henry. I'm not paying peak price for efficiency.
Yeah, the difference is we actually have Tannehill. It's worth it. The biggest driver of a quarterback's projection
is team total.
Touchdowns. And he's projected for the most passing touchdowns on the main slate, 2.11. But what I will say, when you're thinking of range of outcomes, like, so we're projecting 2 full passing touchdowns, and that's in the 22.5 DraftKings points projection, right? Someone like Kyler Murray, who we're projecting for 1.7 passing touchdowns, is projecting for 20 DraftKings points, second best value. I feel like there's a little bit less volatility with Kyler because if he hits that 2 passing touchdown mark, our projection's low. If he hits the 1 passing touchdown mark, he doesn't lose as much as Tannehill does. So I don't know. There's this weird point I'm trying to make, but
I get.
You're more likely to get the touchdown, so it makes sense that he projects higher, but there's also more fragility in the projection because there's more downside on the touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but, like, I just would rather play Deshaun Watson, who I just know is good.
I mean, what I was saying was, like, helping you.
I understand. I hear what you're saying. But I'm not playing Ryan Tannehill in tournaments. I'm especially not playing.
That's fine that you're not playing him in tournaments, but you're like wording it like what I said. I was giving you a reason not to play him in tournaments.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. Your help is, you have no idea how much it means to me.
I hate you. Whatever. I'm just playing Kyler again.
Yeah. I mean, Kyler, and you can do the double stacks if you're, if you just accept that you're ready to jam in Kenyon Drake, then you can do the double stacks.
You playing any Eli at 5.2K?
If he was the Blau price, I would be, but no.
Yeah.
How crazy is it that Ryan Fitzpatrick is 6,200? More expensive than Jared Goff? More expensive than Kirk Cousins?
That's pretty crazy.
Crazy, crazy.
I don't really have much else.
I got one other thing. Like, am I dumb and bad for just going back to double stacking Mahomes? Because, like, my theory is they have this 28-point team total. And, I mean, I guess the little secret is this team literally cannot run the football. They had a blowout victory the last 2 weeks, and they cannot run. They cannot run the ball. All their running backs are bad.
Yeah, I think it's fine, because if there's a team that's going to throw for 5 touchdowns on a week, it's Kansas City. And if you're getting all those guys around 10%, it's a huge smash. The hard part is, I mean, it's expensive. This is a week that you can fit it like you could last week. I'd like it more if we had Sammy as an option.
Sammy is an option, dude.
Yeah.
See, you just throw Hardman in there, you throw Robinson in there, you throw Tyreek in there, you throw Kelsey in there, you throw Sammy in there, and you just let it all
It's an interesting MME strategy to go heavy on, and you like don't care who the pass catchers are. You just know.
Yeah, that's basically what I do.
Yeah. For me, if I'm playing, I'll probably be playing a little bit more on FanDuel this week because they have a Millie Maker at a price point of like 10 teams in that at the 250. But I don't know. It's a little harder then where, I don't know, do you do Mahomes, Hill, Kelsey in single entry?
I did last week and didn't work out.
I don't know if this is most likely noise and variance, but if you look at the correlations for Kansas City, it's quite often like a Tyreek Hill game or an everybody else game. And it makes me wonder if I should be double.
Massive target share, or everyone else gets like 6 targets.
Yeah, it just makes me wonder. Which I think I'm like 90% sure is just noise, because you could easily have Tyreek Hill break like 2 long touchdowns and targets go elsewhere. But that's been the way it's been like the last year and a half. Is we haven't seen a lot of just the way the correlations have worked out. I've seen the correlation matrix, and it's a fact.
Yeah. All right. Well, you got anything else for the folks?
We didn't talk about Nuke. I mean, Nuke is probably the best receiver play.
Yeah, just a cash play though.
Yeah,
we don't talk about those.
Oh yeah, that's right. We're GPP. We're GPP, and yeah. I feel like
if they want to hear the cash game breakdowns, they can subscribe to DailyRoto.com and get 10% off using their promo code Janus.
Oh, I think the only thing
we got to get a Laird promo code going too.
We absolutely do. If people don't play Howard, I'm going to play a lot of OJ Howard. That's one of my hotter takes to start the week.
I'm going to probably play
some Larry Fitzgerald.
People are playing. Dude, stop. Larry Fitzgerald.
I'm going to play some Larry Fitzgerald.
Okay. Well, all right. The show's officially gone. We've been on the air too long. All right, everyone. Make sure to check out rotoexperts.com, dailyroto.com, and Drew Dinkmeyer. We'll be back tomorrow with the game-by-game breakdown show.